Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday Doorbuster Deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time Doorbuster Deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
The firm of Harris and Meringue. Not ambulance chasing, but plenty of rides in one.
From the hips down, man, it's a disaster.
The firm. Patrick Harris.
And someone crashed their car on the I-5 bridge.
Danny Meringue.
I've had some bad runs.
On the Fan Sports Network, 105.1 and 1080. The Fan.
Out of two here on the firm of Harris and Meringue. It is a Meringue and Rusty edition. Harris is out with bird flu.
Yeah, fair enough.
Then we're going with something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, kids and stuff.
Look, man, I went from one co-host with a wife with kids.
It's that time of the year.
To another co-host with a wife with kids who's a teacher.
Yeah.
To another co-host whose wife is a teacher and around germ-ridden children all day long.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
I start feeling the sniffle or a little something like a little tickle in the back of my throat, a little cough, and I'm like, God, I'm not around people. I know who's bringing it in here. I'm in that freaking germ box with Dusty for years, and now Harris. I can't get away from it.
Yep, I sit in here in my own little box.
And yeah,
so
I know.
It's just me and my germs.
You get to marinate in your own sauce.
Until I either get it handed off from Swag, which we don't have to worry about that because no kids there, and then I hand it off to Schultzy.
See?
And so I guess maybe then I give
Schultzy the spreader because you've got the freaking... daycare next door to you.
Oh, no, trust me. That has nothing to do with the health issues because we don't do anything with them.
But it just, you're in its orbit.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Yeah, see? Well, I say that, but I'm around...
downwind.
Yeah, see? I'm around 20,000 people 41 times a year.
Yeah, exactly.
So...
yeah.
And as you mentioned in your update, Chris Murray is questionable tonight with an illness, which means it's made its way into the Blazers locker room, which crap. Because I'm going to tell you right now, when it gets in that locker room, it just sits in there.
Yeah.
Everyone gets it. Everyone gets
it. It's like a Detroit Lake wildfire.
Dude, it's so bad.
Sorry, is it too soon?
No, I mean, it is what it is. But it's like once it gets in there, they're like, no, don't. Like, if you're sick, stay home.
Get out.
Don't like. But the problem is, they're on the road.
Yeah.
So it's either stay in the hotel room or you're gonna get on a plane.
It's like after
anyways.
Our show, nobody sees it during the break, during the YouTube and stuff. But every time Isaac Ropp comes in and he wipes the hell out of everything with those Clorox wipes.
You guys cannot see it off camera. Here, yeah. I'm gonna grab it for the camera, folks.
Yeah. He wipes the hell out of everything with the Clorox wipes.
And wipes everything down.
And then
the mic boom holder, the our on off switch, the keyboard, the mouse, the table wipes it all down.
And then we also have these are our tech wipes, the stuff that we can use like on keyboards and mices and stuff to
oh, he uses this on the keyboards and mices anyway.
Yeah, well, he shouldn't.
I know.
And IT and Josh and Dan will probably yell at him for that.
He wipes. Look, actually, there's a drop now of, you know, Harris talking about, you know, his side's dirty. I'm like, no, it's not. Isaac Ropp sits there.
Oh, I made it a promo.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry, not the drop promo. I sit over here with a guy named Dirt.
Dirt and Suk, yeah. You got their dirt. You got the Dirt and Suk side.
And look, I'm not a germaphobe. I'm not messy, but I'm not a germaphobe either.
Right.
Like, I don't, I'm just like, whatever.
Nah.
Although there was somebody who remained nameless who was using my mic cover like it was theirs for a while. Jerk. It's mine. I'm going to, Lego. I licked it.
I think my old
peek God, behind the why curtain. Why did I lick that? That was terrible.
Yeah, that's weird. I think my old mic cover got snaked by one of the new kids.
Oh.
And it's not Brandon.
It's not Handsome Brandon?
Well, it's not Handsome Brandon, who is currently sitting just directly outside the door right now. So I want to make sure when he hears this, it's not him.
Looking at Casey.
Yeah. He had come in. He had already taken his off the mic stand here that we live in and with. Yeah. And I had already put mine on. I think he forgot that he had taken his off.
And so
then
he took the old swappy.
Mine then. And so this one that I currently have, not my OG. Not my OG.
That's not good.
I know. It's scary.
It's not good. Yeah, see, there's Handsome Brandon right now. He's checking it. He's like, I heard my name. Oh, what's going on here? Speaking of handsome, we've got a bunch of handsome lads on that Portland Trailblazers team. And I want to dive into a little bit of data because I'm a giant data geek, and these are the things that I love. The Portland Trailblazers, 2-2 through the season. They had an opportunity. They legitimately could be 4-0.
Yeah.
They could have closed out the game against the Timberwolves. If you want to split hairs and say that they lost to the Clippers because they just weren't good enough, that's totally fine. But they've had the ability and the capacity to win all four games. They throttled the Warriors, and they handled business against the Lakers. And they had two close games with two other playoff teams in the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Los Angeles Clippers. That's about as good as I think you can ask for. But I think there's a couple trends that are already starting to pop out.
And because I think also for a team that is this young and that you don't know exactly what they are, and a team that is expected to win, what's the over-under for the preseason? 33, 34,
35? 34 and a half, I think, is the final.
So, that's what you say about a team with those kinds of expectations. They could be 4-0, and you want to know why they're not? Because they are that young, and they're learning through things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happens with a young team that is expected to maybe pick up and do a little, you know,
do a little something, something,
do a little something, something,
do a little something, something.
But yes, but so those young teams, yes. When you're an experienced team and you get through those, that's where you come out 4-0. And for those exact reasons, that's why this team is 2-2.
So here's a couple of little nuggies that have come out through four games. If you follow me on social media, you saw me tweet about this the other day because I was starting to do my first initial dive because I want to get a baseline. I want to get a baseline of, okay, here we're at through four games, then five games, then 10 games, then 15, then 20, 25, and then usually about 25 games we typically know, you know, barring injuries for any particular team, what the identity of a team is. This was the first one that jumped out to me, and it's a pretty staggering number. Through four games, the Portland Trailblazers are 2-2. They have a point differential of plus 4.6 per game, which that's very solid. That's 12th in the NBA. But they are number one in forced turnover percentage at 22.3%. That means more than one out of every five possessions, they are turning the opponent over.
Basically one of four. Basically,
I mean, yeah, I mean, they're right there.
Yeah, 22 and a half. Yeah.
Yeah, they're split.
And that's
it's one out of every four and a half to be, you know, to use like almost exact math.
Exactly. And that's one of every four possessions you are making the other team turn the ball over.
Yes.
And so that is fantastic. Not to use a phrase that I know that Isaac Ropp hates because it's typically improperly used, but that begs the question.
Yes.
What do you then do with those possessions?
And that's what I'm going to get to in just a second, but I want to show just how far ahead they are than the next team. The Portland Trailblazers are at 22.3%. Number two is Cleveland at 18.5%. That nearly 4% difference is the same difference between Cleveland at number two and Utah at 23. The gap between one and two is the gap between two and 23.
Yeah.
It is a massive, massive gap. That is how good they have been at forcing turnovers. They are picking up at 90-plus feet regularly. They are drawing charges. They are getting offensive fouls. They are getting steals. They are getting deflections. They are defensive terrorists so far through four games.
And that's great. And that's what we want. And we kind of knew this with even with you got Donovan Klingon in the middle, right? And we even last year, we knew that he was going to be a project, and it wasn't for the offensive end, but we knew that
what he could bring defensively.
Defensive end.
Mm-hmm.
And I think even in his limited minutes this year, you've got some Jan Hansen stuff. And while he picks up his fouls, that's great. But he's young and he's picking it up. You got Matisse Thybulle. Mm-hmm. You got Drew Holiday. Mm-hmm. You got Tumani Kamara. Mm-hmm. You have defensive stalwarts. Mm-hmm. Five of them on this team.
I mean, you have three all defense members in Tease, Tumani, and Drew.
Yeah.
Those guys have all been all defensive members in their career.
Oh, and then also you still have Bob Will, who is working his way back, who is another defensive stalwart.
Yes.
And who has not yet appeared.
Yes, and he's working his way, working out with Rip City Remix, getting through conditioning. He's not playing like games with them, but he's getting game action to
working
get him
out
to,
with them and getting into shape.
Getting acclimated, and it sounds like he may look at Friday.
Ooh.
May look at Friday.
Ooh.
So
color me intrigued. That's my Dr. Evil pinky finger going in the corner of my mouth.
Imagine the Blazers being able to go big and stay big.
Yeah.
So when Donovan comes off or Jan Hansen's only getting a couple minutes.
Right.
If Rob can give you 6 minutes and a half, give you 12 total minutes. Well, like that's another look that they can have.
And that's the thing too, is that at that five position with Klingon in there, and he's still, look, we've seen him. He is way more in NBA shape this season than he was last season.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've seen that he can play a few more minutes.
And he has not been asked yet because the teams they have played have kind of gone with some small ball stuff.
Right.
The Lakers being injured, the Warriors playing small, the Timberwolves playing small, the Clippers were the counter to that where they went bigger, but they couldn't put Hansen out there on Brook Lopez because you're asking him to now cover one of the most prolific big men shooters, floor spacers, and now you're putting him in a position he's never been in.
And so now then you have the option of in the next few games coming in with,
if you get
BW3, you know, and it's like, well, okay, that's
a different look.
That's different from going from Klingon to Young.
Or to Denny.
Or to, yeah.
Because they play Denny a lot at the small ball five.
Yeah.
There's a lot more numbers I want to get into. And I want to keep us on the clock here because there's a lot of stuff that I want to get to. But like I said, I want to start with that turnover percentage because that kind of sets the table for what they are and what they've been so far and where they can get to. We're going to keep it going on the Blazers. Some news, notes, numbers, and nuggies coming up next here on the Firm of Harrison Marang on 105.1 The Fan.
Black Friday? More like Black Friday, yay! Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
Holiday doorbuster deals are on at Lowe's. Today only, get select 1-quart poinsettias and select translucent plant saucers for $1 each. That means for a limited time, you can decorate to get in the Christmas spirit for less. Shop in-store to make sure you don't miss out on big savings all day. But hurry, these offers won't last long. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid 11/28, in-store only, limit 16 per person. Selection varies by location, while supplies last.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Welcome back in here on the Firm of Harris and Marang, diving into the Blazers numbers, nuggies, trends, things that I'm noticing through the first four games. And there are some trends, even though it's only been four games. We talked about the turnover rate and how important that has been and how drastically ahead they are of everyone else in the league. The crazy thing about that is I think that's something they can continue to do because they have the personnel to be that disruptive. During a game, it was either game three or game four, I tweeted out something along the lines of, I think the Oklahoma City Thunder are the only team in the league that have the personnel to throw wave after wave after wave of point-of-attack defenders that the Blazers can throw at you. It really is that good. It's that good. Whether it's starting with Drew Holiday and Tumani Kamara and then bringing in Blake Wesley and Matisse Thybulle and Chris Murray, it's five guys that are great point-of-attack defenders.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, the non-Blazer diehards and regular NBA at-large guys do not know about Blake Wesley and Chris Murray. And the way that they are playing defense right now is truly great.
Yeah. Well, and to be fair, as far as the national guys go, how often do they go digging down into number 11 and 12 and 13 on a team's bench?
And they don't see that. And then when they see it in-game, it's been funny talking to media from away teams in the first two games. Mm-hmm. And then some other folks just like, you know, talking back and forth either via text or DM during games like, dude, Blake Wesley can defend. I'm like, yeah.
Well, that night,
really can.
Like, I haven't watched a ton of these games. I've mm-hmm. watched some. But I'll tell you one thing. Blake Wesley, that dude is all gas, no brakes.
Yes. I mean,
whether on defense or offense.
Yeah, no.
All gas, no brakes. He just goes.
And you live with it because he's a guy that he plays this hard. And this is something Chauncey Billups really preached, is that if you don't match that intensity when you're on the floor with those guys, you stand out.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where I want to give Shaedon Sharpe credit. Yeah, the shooting has been egregiously bad.
Yes.
He's getting steals. He's getting rebounds. He's giving the effort. He is locked in. He is focused. He is playing hard.
He is giving the Fs on the defensive end.
100%.
And that is what we wanted to see. And mm-hmm. that is what Chauncey beforehand mm-hmm. wanted to see from him. And so now he's doing it. And that's great. And that's what we want. And I think that with him doing that and showing that effort on that end, the shooting will come around.
Knock, knock. Let's hope. Let's pray.
It'll come around.
It'll come around. So those turnovers, though. So the Blazers are number one in forced turnovers, 22.3%. Massive number. It's also leading to the number four rate in transition opportunities. So they're not just turning teams over. Mm-hmm. They're turning them over and going.
Right.
Now,
so which means when we say something like that, it means you're not just turning the ball over and grabbing the pass and dribbling up court. You are forcing it up court. You're making the outlet pass.
Whether it was Chauncey in game one or Thiago through three games, spinning the arm. Go, yes. Go,
pushing it.
Go,
push,
go.
Push.
And it's very prevalent. The Blazers coaching staff, if you just watch, and it's, sometimes it's hard to watch on TV, but that's something that I do when I'm at games. I spend a lot of time watching the bench and watching the coaching staff.
Mm-hmm.
Because what I do is, I watch the games, but a lot of the minutia stuff, I pick up on when I rewatch it at night.
Yeah,
when I come home and I do my film watches.
When you get like a second watch.
That's
course,
when I
yes.
start looking for
that's
the
when
little
you see
things.
The different stuff.
Yes. But
yes.
In game, I want to make sure I'm watching things that I may not necessarily be able to pick up on the film.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've spent a lot of time watching the coaching staff and what they've done and how they look and how much they're communicating, what they're communicating, when they're communicating it. And it's a lot.
Yep.
Chauncey and Thiago, both the assistant coaches, Patrick St. Andrews, Nate Bjorkgren, it is a lot. Just communication, communication, communication. That is something that wasn't there for the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of that has to do with number one guys getting more comfortable, but also getting Drew Holiday.
Yeah.
Drew Holiday is going to talk. But also Donovan Clingan. I'm the starter. I have to talk.
Well, see, and what's funny is I remember when the moves were made and they brought in Drew Holiday. And there was a lot of people that said, why are we doing this? Why mm-hmm. are we bringing him in right now? Because Drew Holiday, this is one of those guys that where he's kind of one of those maybe last pieces for like a contending team or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, I love my Trailblazers. We are not a contending team, right? But he's coming here, and so his role here now is to come in and teach those young dudes, and also now, with of course, with Dame being signed and sitting out the entire season, Can you imagine two better dudes to come in and lead a locker room right now for this kind of a young team with Donovan Klingon and Jan Hansen and Toumani Kamara
and Shaedon
and Sharp Scoot. And Scoot. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Could you imagine it? You cannot find two better dudes than Drew Holiday and Damian Lillard to come in and teach these young guys how to be professional basketball players.
Especially with what's going on.
Yeah.
And
I was just thinking of the on-court stuff.
Yeah, no, I'm talking about both. And I've talked to Dame about this. And before what happened and after. Him being there matters.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, him not playing maybe gives him more bandwidth.
No, exactly. Yeah.
To handle the off the
court
stuff.
He doesn't
have
to worry about the playing stuff.
No. Now,
he's essentially an assistant coach.
He's a player
right now.
Coach. Yeah. And he still has their respect. Everybody knows what the situation is with the injury.
Everybody knows what Dame Lillard brings in that locker room.
Yep. And that matters. But we were talking about the turnovers and the frequency and the things they get. They are number four in frequency. So when they turn teams over, they are playing in transition 19.7% of the time. That is a crazy number. That's fourth in the NBA.
Yeah.
Washington is playing number one at 21.7. The team that's playing the least is that Oklahoma City Thunder at 11.4. They are playing in the half court a ridiculous amount.
Well, I think they spend a lot of time at the free throw line as well, don't
yes.
they?
Yes. Also, but when Oklahoma City does play in transition, they are number two in conversion. Utah, number one. Philly, three. Charlotte, four. San Antonio, five. So if you're noticing a trend there, Utah, Oklahoma City, Philadelphia, Charlotte, San Antonio. I don't know if anybody's been watching what's going on in Philadelphia. Tyrese Maxey and VJ Edgecombe, both young, very fast, very athletic dudes. They are putting up. Tyrese Maxey's averaging like 35 a game right now.
Well, he already has a couple different 40-point
games.
Yeah,
he's 2 40-point games, and Edgecombe has a couple 30-point games.
Yeah.
Those two guys are flying.
Mm-hmm.
Flying.
Yes.
Now, your Portland Trailblazers, though, are 10th in points per 100 possessions in transition at 134.3.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about them is they have the opportunity to actually get better, because while they're good so far in rim frequency and 3-point frequency, the problem they run into, if I pull up their shooting data, is it my screen here refreshes, in location effective field goal percentage. So if you were to average league average shooting from the rim, mid range and three, that's what this takes into account. The Blazers are fourth in the NBA. Orlando, Chicago, San Antonio. Those are the three teams in front of them. Their location effective field goal percentage is 56.5%. League average is 54.6. That means the shots they're getting analytically, shots at the rim, shots from three, are very, very good.
Mm-hmm.
Here's where the problem lies.
Okay.
They are 25th in actual effective field goal percentage, 50.8%.
All right.
League average is 54.1.
So, okay. Pardon my average NBA brain.
No, perfect. Go.
So this is telling me that they are getting the chances. They're just not
converting
hitting
them. Yes.
And that will come.
That's the hope, right?
Because that will come.
If you're
and a lot of that is just being a young and up and coming team, correct?
That's part of it. So
they will come.
While the Blazers are one of the best teams in the league, when you're talking about rim frequency, the Portland Trailblazers are fourth in the NBA. 40.5% of their shots are coming at the rim. 40.5. 39.5 are coming from three. So over 80% of their shots are coming at the rim or the three-point line.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Well, yeah. Well, and that is also fairly, I mean, again, I'm not the NBA man that you are, but that feels like that's fairly indicative of today's NBA, though, too. You don't have a lot of mid-range game in today's
NBA. It depends. The Blazers are so far behind. If you want to talk about frequency of that mid-range shot, the Blazers are dead last. 20%. Of their shots are coming from mid-range. Dead last.
Okay.
League average is 29.8, so they're 10%
that's
below.
A big difference.
It
okay.
is. The Sacramento Kings, number one, more than double.
Wow.
That's because you have Zach LaVine, DeMontis Sabonis, and DeMar DeRozan, three guys that spend time in mid-range.
Mm-hmm.
They are shooting 43.7% of their shots from mid-range. The Kings are.
Mm-hmm.
It's player profiles and how you build your team. How this Blazers team is built is very specific. Again, they are number four in rim frequency. Here comes the problem. Rim conversion. The Portland Trailblazers are 23rd in the league, 62.5%.
So you're getting all those shots at the rim, but not converting.
And they're 23rd in the league in 3-point percentage, 33.3.
And league so you're getting all those shots outside the arc, but not converting.
And here's where the turnover rate matters.
And that is just this season, correct?
Yes, that's just through the first four games.
We are still on small sample size theater. There's a ton of noise,
but if what your eyes are showing you,
right,
the turnover rate, this is why this matters.
Mm-hmm.
The Blazers are getting to the line, and they're generating more shots.
Yeah.
They're out-mathing the math.
Right.
If you're not going to be efficient, get volume.
Yeah.
They took 18 more shots from the field than the Lakers. Now, the Lakers took 11 more free throws, but you're still plus 7 mm-hmm. in field goal attempts
right.
and shooting possessions. Yep. If you're winning that battle and you're able to overcome, you are then able to overcome a lesser percentage. Now, there is a line of demarcation that you can't get past.
Right.
That's Los Angeles Clippers. They shot 37% from the field. If you shoot 37% from the field, you better have 20 plus more shooting percentage.
I feel like the Clippers are always some sort of weird line of demarcation.
Well, they are.
Because they're the Clippers.
But I'm saying in games in general, if you're going to shoot that poorly, you better make sure they shoot pretty poorly and you're beating them from the field.
Absolutely.
But you're seeing the way this team can beat teams, even being a subpar shooting team. Those are the indicators and the lines that I'm looking at of like, okay, this is starting to matter. So you have the turnovers that you're forcing. You have the shooting profile that you want. You have the aggressiveness and the intensity that you want. You also are playing with the pace that you want. And I'll finish this up here and we'll pivot to some NFL here in just a second. The Blazers are playing with the sixth highest pace right now in the NBA. 106.
Mm-hmm.
That would be 3 points higher than number one last year. 103. Mm-hmm. They are playing. Every team says they want to play fast. The Trailblazers are playing fast.
Yep.
And you know, the only reason why it's not higher is that the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Los Angeles Clippers in the fourth quarters of those games, you know what they did? They slowed it down. They said, Kawhi, James, need you and Zoo to work in the two-man game, play this game in the half court, not give these guys these options. What? They told Ant Edwards and Rudy Gobert and Naz Reid, get in the two-man game. We're going to grind this thing to a halt and slow this thing down.
And not to, because I know we're up against it here, mm-hmm. but not to, you go back to the early 2000s, the Sacramento Kings. Offensive juggernauts. You know how you kill them? You slow them down. And this can go even to the NFL with your upstart offensive teams mm-hmm. that happened for so long. They can score and they can go 14-2 in the regular season. You get to them into the playoffs.
And
what do you do?
Grindy.
You slow them down.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you beat them.
Yep. So that's the thing that the Blazers have to overcome. They either have to find a way to have some better shooting nights. They have to finish better at the rim. And a big part of that early on here is, you know, some guys have struggled at the rim. Drew struggled a little bit at the rim. Shaden has weirdly. Look, the three-point shot is one thing.
From everywhere.
But that's the thing is Shea is such
again,
a good rim
only
finisher.
Four games in.
But that's
we
the
got 78 100%.
Left. Yeah. If he starts, like, the three-point shot might actually be a problem for Shaden.
Okay.
It just might.
Fair.
But the rim finishing should not be a problem for him. He is an elite rim finisher. Yes. I fully expect that to correct itself.
Yes, and even after four games, I think that it will. And again, small sample size theater. That
meanwhile,
will work
itself out. The guy that struggled at the rim last year, in Jeremy Grant, has been an absolute demon at the rim.
Yeah.
Last I checked, I think he was in shooting something like again through only four games. I believe he's shooting 80%+ at the rim. Let me pull this up real quick.
And that's where I've been. That's where I've kind of been like, I know
88%.
I know that we have had our disagreements on this, but I think that is why it is good for Shaden to be in the starting five and Jeremy to be coming off the bench, because Shaden has had all of the shooting issues this season so far, again, only through four games. But we don't want to put those sort of shooting struggles as your first guy off the bench.
See,
and so with Jeremy coming out like gangbusters, like he has, and after he has struggled for the last season or two, again, this is just me. I feel like that is where he is best served on this team, is being that guy that comes off the bench. And right now, the way that he is playing, giving that offensive punch, because otherwise, where else does it come from?
We're going to do a little pivot because I want to dive into that. We'll push the NFL news here a little bit further back because I get to run the show. I'm the captain now.
You are the captain now.
I'm not calling for a change, but I think this is a worthy discussion about kind of how these things can work themselves out as far as roles and responsibilities and lineups and what we've kind of seen through these first four games. We'll get to that next here on the Firm of Harrison Marang. But first, here's the Big Kahuna with the Sports Center update.
You ever had a Big Kahuna burger?
Black Friday? More like Black Friday. Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
I'm letting it play. Jeff Russ is jamming. Picking up on a conversation that Jeff Russ brought up here in the last segment as far as Shaedon Sharpe starting, Jeremy Grant coming off the bench, and the consistency and the honestly prolific play that we've seen from Jeremy Grant through the first four games. He is shooting the living crap out of the ball.
No, he is. He has been fantastic.
He's in the 96th percentile in effective field goal percentage. He is shooting 68.5% effective field goal percentage.
Yeah,
88% at the rim, 48% from three.
I don't think that there has been at least I don't think there's been a bigger critic of Jeremy Grant over the last season or two here. Anyway, I don't speak that much on the air, I guess. But anyway, he has not looked great the last season or two. He is coming out like gangbusters, mm-hmm. and I love it. And I love it. To me, it's a great, it's almost a Lane Kiffin-esque redemption story. You know what I mean? But I do think that it also just helps prove to me anyway that for him on this team and on this roster that first guy off the bench role is the best spot for him.
See, I don't think necessarily it proves or disproves anything. I think Jeremy would have done this in the starting lineup as well. And this is why I think that. I've talked about like roles and responsibilities within a lineup, no matter what's a starting group, a bench group, mixed group, closing group, whatever it is. There's rules that kind of define these things as players. You can't have, I mean, you can get super crazy when you have like the Heatles, when you've got, you know, Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, LeBron James, and you can have three overwhelming stars on the floor, or you have the Warriors death lineup. Like they do happen,
yeah.
Where they can kind of take roles and just blow them up.
But let's face it, this Trailblazers team, we're not exactly the traveling Wilburys.
No, it's not. But within lineups, you have to have creators, you have to have finishers, mm-hmm. and you have to have playmakers offensively. And where I think Shaden is finding his problems is that because Drew and Denny are guys that they fit this new style, this new system a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's hard for Shaden to find his groove with that group because Denny's a downhill force who wants to create. And he's not going to really dilly-dally on the ball. When the ball gets to him, it's catch and drive, catch and shoot, or catch and keep it moving. Right? You don't see him going triple threat very often. You don't see him kind of hesitate. It's very, very, very quick processing. Drew Holiday, very much the same. Catch and shoot, go into a step back, into the shot clock. Like he just knows. It's the basketball IQ, it's the acumen, it's the feel, it's all those kind of things. It's let's use the Sacramento Kings, DeMar DeRozan.
Okay.
You can ask DeMar to take all the threes you want. Hell, let's use a former Trailblazer. You can ask CJ McCollum to take all the threes that you want.
Mm-hmm.
You know what he's going to do? He's going to get into the mid-range and he's going to take mid-rangers. You can't change a Tiger's stripes. And I'm not saying that Shaden can't evolve and get better.
Right.
But I don't look at him as a play finisher. Okay. I look at him as a creator. And I feel like his role within that lineup right now with how he has been as a player so far through 3+ years
mm-hmm.
is that he doesn't understand where he can get his.
Gotcha.
Where if he was coming off the bench right now, I think it would be much more clear what that would look like. Does that make sense?
So if I'm picking up what you're putting down, is that even though I think that his best role is in that starting unit where mm-hmm. he's not the man
mm-hmm.
and he's not the dude.
It would almost be better if he was, if he was higher up the pecking order.
That he has a hard time finding his identity in that role,
mm-hmm.
whereas if he were the sixth man, the first guy off
the bench. Let's put it this way, where if the starting lineup was Drew, two, Jeremy, Donovan, and the first guy out
was... Well, we can't have two twos.
But if the first guy out was Denny,
okay,
and you slide two up to the three and Jeremy up to the four, or whatever you want to have that,
right.
to basically the starting lineup, but you take one of the creators out
uh-huh.
in Denny.
Gotcha.
Where there's a little bit more, because two and Jeremy are play finishers. They're not guys that are going to, you know, drive and kick regularly or try to trigger the offense. Now, mm-hmm. Jeremy can, but that's not really what he is.
Right.
He's a play finisher. Tumani is a play finisher. They have little flourishes of other things, but when the ball finds them in an open spot, what are they going to do?
Mm-hmm.
They're going to shoot or they're going to attack. It's a very binary decision where guys like Drew, Shea, and Denny as creators, their decisions aren't nearly as binary. There's more paths for them.
Okay.
And I think with Shaden, if he was coming into that group with one less creator on the floor or one guy who spends a little less time on the ball,
mm-hmm.
that clears some of the fog for him in his decision tree.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes. So I'm trying to wrangle everything around in here. So I think what you're saying is that Shaden Sharp needs to not try to figure out how to fit in with the other four guys around him in a starting lineup, but he needs to feel better. He feels better about being
playing
being the main guy off the second unit.
Not necessarily that, just where
and just and in terms of how he fits in, what his role is in the offense.
I think he could be just fine in the starting lineup if he was higher up in the pecking order.
Okay,
but because he's not, and he's not because Drew and Denny are better. They just are.
So still, what I'm picking up is that it's a perceived role situation.
I think that's part of it, but it's also his style of play.
Okay,
can it evolve? That's really the question that I have with him. Can the shot selection that he's taken a couple of shots, I'm like, don't mm-hmm. do that. But for the most part, his shot selection, it's his shot diet. It's what I expect. Shots at the rim, a mid-range pull-up threes. But something about it just feels like he's pressing because he's not sure where to get it, when to get it, how to get it. You know what I mean? Like there's
no, I do. And that's why I'm kind of questioning why, because I don't think that... I'm trying to figure out how to phrase this correctly.
No, it's a more intrinsic thing. It is.
Because I don't know that he has it in him to, and this is, I'm not trying to take shots
at
him because I'm not.
You can't change a player's stripes. Like, you can't change the Tiger's stripes. That's the delicate balance of, like,
but
lineups and how
that,
they fit together.
I don't think that Shaden is a top one guy off the bench, lead the unit type of dude.
But see, that's the thing is, when he comes in,
he's a guy that comes in and then is like the number three guy, fits in, whatever, even number two, whatever.
See, that's the thing is, if he comes in where he's the number two, or if you take Danny off the floor and it's him and Drew are the more on-ball guys, I think Shaden probably does better. I think the fact that he's kind of vacillating between that 3-4 spot is a weird spot for him.
But I guess my question is, though, is that a better spot instead of asking him to expect to be the number one off the bench? Because I don't think he's comfortable with that either.
I think you're in the more traditional mold of six man. I think you're thinking like more Jamal Crawford. Like,
no, I totally, absolutely.
But I don't think that role has
because
to
I'm
be
think,
that.
And because I'm thinking of it in the way that Jeremy has been these first 4 games this season.
But Jeremy is Jeremy no matter what.
Right.
That's
no,
kind
exactly.
of whether he's starting or coming off the bench.
I understand.
His mindset is the same. And yeah. I think that's the difference is that Shaden's mindset and his play style, they aren't matching right now.
No, yeah. Well, and I think that Jeremy's mindset and Shaden's mindset in terms of being the first guy off a bench or whatever, I don't think that has to mesh because that's not going to be a thing. Right? Like, it's not going to... I'm not explaining myself well
no,
here.
I'm getting what you're saying.
But I just, it's like a lot of things when we talk about when we get to football and we talk about head coaches and coordinators moving into head coaching spots and whatnot, and how there are some guys that are just, they're coordinators and not a head coach.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah, no, it's that role and responsibility
part. So I think that's kind of somehow... Stick with me here.
No, here's a
I
good...
Think, I think it is apropos for both Shaden Sharpe and Jeremy Grant in this scenario that I don't think either one of them is a head coach. Neither one of them is a number one.
Sure.
They're both maybe a number two or a number three. They're an offensive coordinator, and that's great. But the way to figure it out is to figure out which of those offensive coordinators is best being with the starters and versus being the one off the bench.
I get what you're saying. I disagree because I think we're still splitting up the bench starter role more than it is now in today's NBA because there was more delineation back then. There's a text here. Sounds like you're saying Shane needs to be a big fish in a small pond instead of being a small fish in a lake. We're getting there, but I hate using the word intrinsic, but it really is. There's this thing about it that something just isn't matching. Like I mentioned the idea on the post game the other night with Joe that it's the gears. And sometimes the teeth touch and it works and it moves, but the gears aren't perfectly matched. So when they do spin, sometimes they spin away and all of a sudden they're spinning alone instead of together. For a split second, they might come together. But for whatever reason, it's just not quite there, and that's what I want to see over the next 6 games for Shaden is does he start to understand? Because it's not just his role; it's this new offense. There's multiple things that are at play, and that's why I'm not sitting here crucifying because the effort, the intensity, the energy, the focus, the stuff that we question isn't there. The production isn't.
Yeah,
are those mutually exclusive, or can they come together?
Yeah. And I think where, and again, splitting hairs, and this is just a differences of opinion. To me, I would prefer to see Shaden being the number 3 or 4 guy in the starting lineup rather than number one coming off the bench. Because I think that his shot will start to fall. He will start hitting shots. And I think that and through the small 4-game sample size, Jeremy Grant has proved that the last season or so, flukes, whatever. But I think that is the kind of the burst.
Shea will improve and Jeremy will drop off a little bit. Like those two things are happening because Jeremy's been one of the best shooters in the league right now.
Everything will sort of revert back to the mean.
You'll find something in there.
Yeah.
All right. We'll wrap up that discussion there, but we will keep it here a little more Blazers adjacent kind of to wrap this hour up. The NBA released some news as it pertains to the ongoing FBI probe and investigation around Terry Rozier and Chauncey Billups. We'll get that next here on the firm of Harrison Marang here on 105.1 The Fan.
Sometimes it's good.
Aw, I've interrupted happy time.
Sometimes it's bad.
Ow, son of a...
It's Web Gems.
What'd you do?
The firm of Harris and Meringue on the Fan Sports Network. 105.1 and 1080 The Fan.
Right on time, as always, here on the firm of Harrison Meringue. On the clock. Nothing to see here.
We're close.
Nothing to see here.
We're good.
Today's Web Gem, sometimes good, sometimes bad. Bad and in between. The NBA let it leak to Shams Charania that Terry Rozier and Chauncey Billups will not be paid while they are on leave. I find it at least mildly interesting.
See, I saw this as a headline on ESPN's main page.
Well, for Terry Rozier...
And to me, I kind of thought, though, I was like, I guess I just... assumed that they wouldn't be paid while they're on leave.
And when we're talking about this, I use the police whenever an investigation, or, you know, a shooting or something like that happens. Mm-hmm. What ends up happening? They get put on what?
Desk leave.
Paid administrative leave.
Yeah.
The standard norm, particularly for unions, mm-hmm. is paid leave.
Yeah.
Then you figure out what that is afterwards.
Fair enough.
The money that Chauncey Billups and Terry Rozier were owed right now is not being withheld entirely. It's being put in escrow accounts.
Okay.
For Terry Rozier, he is owed $26.6 million this year.
Well, and I wonder how much of that $26.7 million he owes to somebody else.
Right? You have to wonder about those things. If he is cleared... and allowed to return, which placed him on, this is for Terry Rozier, after his October 23rd arrest, he would receive the full held payments in full, per sources. Billups' salary is $7 million this year and won't be held in escrow. He'll just lose it until the outcome of the FBI case, per sources.
I didn't realize he was making $7 million a year. Nice job if you can get it, right? Man.
Coach's salaries, baby. But also think about this. NBA head coach salary, $7 million. College football head coach, $14 million.
Well, for some. For the highest.
Yeah, but
for,
just
the
like,
for the biggest guys.
But there's also, there's only 30 of these guys in the world in the NBA.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
in a league that generates billions upon billions upon billions.
I think also if we're talking about college football coaches and their paydays, there's probably, we might have maybe a dozen or so guys that are hitting the 10 millions. I don't even think it's that high.
It goes on a little bit further here. Great investigative work here by ESPN. Don't say that too often unless it's Baxter Holmes or Don Van Natta, because Pablo doesn't work there anymore.
Yeah. If Don Van Natta comes rolling around to your house, you better
like,
be scared.
Yeah, you see Baxter or Don, you're like, nope, me no speak English. Hard pass. There's a note in here that the IRS filed a lien against Rozier in November of 23, showing an unpaid balance of assessment of $8.21 million. Mm-hmm. Rozier's attorney, Jim Trusty, having a lawyer named Trusty. Mwah! Fantastic stuff.
It's like having a running back named Kenneth Gainwell.
Right? I mean, you definitely don't want to hire an attorney named Fail.
No, you don't.
You don't want Jim Fail as your attorney.
Hey, I am attorney at law, Jeff Lewes.
Yeah. Lehu Seher. Yeah,
not going to work.
But Trusty sent an email to the AP that the actual amount owed to the IRS at the time was a sliver of that total. There was never a debt of $8 million, Trusty wrote. Out of his total taxes owed in 2021, he actually owed $9,000. That was paid, but the now defunct lien still needs to be pulled from the local courthouse. I don't know, man. $9,000 or $8.22 million? That seems like a little bit more than a rounding error.
Yeah.
So.
That's a big difference, Bob.
Color me crazy. I don't believe you.
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
So, yeah, Chauncey not.
Just like Ron Burgundy says. I don't believe you.
I don't believe you. Chauncey not getting paid. Terry Rozier getting paid. Well, maybe.
Maybe.
He has the potential for getting paid. I wonder how the NBA Coaches Association feels about Chauncey's contract not being put in escrow and Terry Rozier's being put in escrow.
Well, then I guess
collective bargaining.
I guess the NBA Coaches Association mm-hmm. might want to talk to the NBA Players Association.
Be like, how'd you get that?
Right? Exactly.
Because I believe Rick Carlisle is currently the president of the Coaches Association. He has been previously, which is why anytime a coach gets hired.
Oh, you mean Rick Carlisle, one of the coaches that I wish at any like four different points in the Trailblazers' past they would have hired mm-hmm. as their head coach?
Great coach.
That guy.
Also, anytime a coach gets hired, fired, dismissed, whatever, they go to him. because he'll have something to say because he's been the president of the Coach Association. Mm-hmm. So just an interesting thing, newsworthy, whatever you want to call it, kind of coming out of
this.
Yeah, we'll get there eventually. Look, I haven't been in this chair in like 3 months, man. It's throwing me off, all right? Just having to set myself up. God, this is weird. All right, speaking of setting up, coming up next in the noon hour, we will finally pivot to a little bit of NFL. An NFL player gets a big old fat check. I want to have a little bit of a discussion around paying guys at the right time and what it can do to your roster in the immediacy and in the long term. How do the Lions avoid becoming the Ravens? We'll get that here in the noon hour on the firm of Harrison Rang here on 105.1 The Fan.
Holiday doorbuster deals are on at Lowe's. Today only, get select 1-quart poinsettias and select translucent plant saucers for $1 each. That means for a limited time, you can decorate to get in the Christmas spirit for less. Shop in-store to make sure you don't miss out on big savings all day. But hurry, these offers won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid 11/28, in-store only, limit 16 per person. Selection varies by location, while supplies last.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.